Amen. Amen. Before I pray, I say, Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Great day. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love and goodness. And Lord, we do give thanks to the mothers, our mothers and our wives. And Lord, just what a special place they have to show your heart and your love. And God, we just thank you for them, and I pray a protection over them and a special strength for them to carry out all the responsibilities they have. And Lord, to continue to empower them just to all the things from spiritually that they're, you know, enable them to sense and have made them very sensitive in so many areas that see things that the men don't. So we do thank you for them. And Lord, I pray this morning you would just anoint me. I speak words of the Spirit, and I pray each heart would be open to receive what's said, and that God, we'd have a better insight of how you're speaking to us and what you're saying to us. So Lord, I pray a blessing on this service, a blessing all those who are listening online, Lord, that this truly would be powerful in their lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll turn to chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. So we're still in Romans, but we're going to turn to chapter 12 and look at verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1, and it says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, the title to this message is Therefore, or Therefore. And I personally believe this is the most important and most significant therefore in the entire Bible. All right? So, therefore. And what it does here, especially in the whole book of Romans, it makes a huge change in approach. And it's basing the total future of everything that's said based on the past that everything is said. All right? So the word therefore establishes a connection with the entire foregoing presentation of Romans, especially chapters 1 through 8. So when it says therefore, it's going therefore because of chapters 1 through 11. Specifically 1 through 8. So again, that's why it's important. It goes, therefore, and we just move on. Well, therefore, no. It's therefore because of chapters 1 through 11. So if you start with chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, and just go on, well, that's nothing. You have nothing. You have no foundation. You don't have anything to do chapter 12 and forward. Because it's built on the first 8 chapters. First 11 chapters, specifically the first 8 chapters. And so, when we look at this, well, what did we learn in the first 8 chapters specifically? Of course, 9 through 11 was a Jewish-Gentile issue. But in the first 8 chapters, what we had is the Christian theology. You know, our Christian theology, who we are. That's what in the first 8 chapters is. And that is the foundation for everything we are is Christians. Our whole belief system is established in those first 8 chapters. Any believer that doesn't understand the first 8 chapters of Romans doesn't have a full comprehensive view of their faith. It's in the first 8 chapters. And it's important to study that and understand that. And what does it talk about? It gives us a history about sin, talks about our salvation, it talks about what faith is, it talks about the power of the Holy Spirit, all that, everything about who we are. Amen? And then it says, therefore. So we have that. It's assuming we have that. I understand faith, I understand salvation, I understand the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now that you understand that, therefore. Amen? So it's huge. It's a huge therefore. Give you a little hint. May or may not know this. The original Greek, when they wrote the original Greek, it's a very precise language. The Hebrew language is not that precise. But the Greek language is incredibly precise. There's not like a, you know, some, I mean, they will have one word for something and they'll have three words for the same word. It's very, very precise. Well, also, what you may not know is there's no punctuations in the Greek language. No punctuations. There's no periods or commas or anything like that. But so what you have is when they tell a story, they use words where there's, we would use punctuation, they use words. All right? And so when you read it and you translate it, it all connects together, it flows together. All right? So it's that no punctuations in the Greek language. They use words. So it makes it really expressive. And so it's really dangerous to skip over a word. All right? Because it's really communicating things, and it really is quite amazing. So I back to the point. We have chapters 1 through 8, you know, chapters 1 through 11, and we are therefore. Okay, that's our, like, blow a bugle, put an exclamation mark, and three smiley faces, you know, and a thing of fire, you know, and our emojis. Okay, that's what this therefore is. So what we're going to look at in the first 8 chapters, God showed us who we are. This is who we are. Now he's going to show us what to do. That's where we are. Therefore, you know who you are. Now I'm going to tell you what to do. Now, can you see a problem if somebody doesn't know who they are? Now let me tell you what to do. All right. You know, I mean, there's no foundation. There's no foundation. So, this is a terrible verse to ever start preaching with. You know, therefore, we tell you what to do, and you don't know who you are. See, with your kids, it's like, it's good to discipline your kid. Do what I say. Why? Because I told you to. Okay? Now, there's no therefore. It's just like, yeah, therefore, I'm going to smack your bottom. You know, at least when I grew up, that's what you did. See? So there's no therefore, but it's good because it teaches them discipline, okay? So it teaches them discipline. Doesn't give them any power, doesn't give them any understanding or anything else. It just teaches them discipline, see? So that's not bad. That's the reason you raise them up, send them off to college, and they go nuts. Why? Because you're not there. Because the only reason they obey is because you're there. So as long as when you're not there, hey, go crazy. See, but it was a discipline. You hopefully they'll circle around and come back to that discipline. Okay. But it's not any power, not any character, not anything else. See. So what you're hoping with you teach your children, you'll teach them a little character, a little power, a relationship with God, and they know who they are, and then they come out and they go, therefore they will do what they're supposed to. See? But while they're at home, especially when they're little, it's like, do it because I said so. And that's okay. Like, discipline's good. But at some point, there needs to be a transition where they're empowered. And all of a sudden, it comes from the heart. They come in and say, Mom, I just want to clean my room. And they clean. You know, that comes from the heart. You know. You see what I'm saying? That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. But you see the point. I'm making the point. I'm driving home the point. That's the reason I thought. The title of the message is therefore. Now, we see as it comes up through this whole, up to this point, in Romans, again, we have the foundation, the Christian faith, everything about it. And then as we recall in chapter 11, how it ended. How Paul ended that section. It was just overwhelming, exorbitant praise. Who has known the mind of God? How could... It's just amazing. His majesty, his glory. He ends that after he explains us chapters 1 through 8. And the Gentile Jewish question. He's, oh my God, just the glory of it. So he's ended. It's done. This is who we are. Now chapter 12. Therefore, this is what you do. This is what you do. Now, having said that, I'm going to issue a warning. And this warning you really should take to heart. Take to heart. Really should. Because it's a huge error my opinion, it's a huge error in believing churches, not unbelieving churches. I mean, but believing churches, it's a huge error. It's a huge error. And what they will do is they will preach what you should do before they have related to who you are. See, you get the by the way, the to-dos are way easy to preach. I mean, it's just easy. You know, it's like, give, you're going to hell. I mean, that's kind of a to-do. You know, see, but that's a motivation to do that. I mean, that's a motivation not to come back next Sunday. It's like, good grief. But you see the point. It's easy to preach to do. Legalism is easy to teach. Rules are easy to teach. You can lay it out there. But what's hard to teach is like who you are. But Paul covers, first of all, who you are. So here's the warning. Trying to, quote, to do before we understand who we are will be the most miserable and fruitless endeavor we will ever experience. I hate church. It's just to do, and I can't do it, and I try, and I fail, and I don't want anybody to know, and so I'll just pretend I'm doing it. You know, I just hope Linda doesn't tell the truth. But we'll put on a face. It's a to-do. But you can't do it. There's no power, and it's frustrating. Have you ever seen a frustrated, miserable Christian? I love Jesus, and I wish I was in heaven right now. Just God. Lord. You know, whoa. That's what it's miserable because it's a to-do. Now, are the to-dos correct? Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. To-do. They're correct. But if that's all you have with no power, you're absolutely miserable. Right? See, the world is a lot happier because they don't have any to-dos. You know? And we have the to-dos and say, you should do my to-do. You know? And then you can be as miserable as me. But you come to Joe Jesus and love Jesus and go to heaven. But now here you have to be miserable with all the to-dos. But you see what I'm getting at? Making a point, overemphasizing the point. Therefore, so what we have here, trying to do the to-dos before we understand who we are, is absolutely miserable. In church, as a Christian, you'll be absolutely miserable because you can't live up to the to-dos and you don't have the power to do the to-dos. You just get tired. And also, preaching on the to-dos of the Bible without understanding who we are will be oppressive and ultimately produce hopelessness. What's the hope? I mean, you're hoping you go to heaven, you know, but it's hopeless here. Just hopeless. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. It's not working out when I'm supposed to. It's just hopeless. You know, I come back and the preacher says, do this. Do some more of this. Well, how do I get out of this? Well, then you do the right thing. I heard a guy tell his kid. His kid, I'll never forget this. And he said, I'm always getting in trouble. He said, yeah. He says, the whole solution is to do right. Well, now, that kid, how long is that going to last? How long is that little kid going to do right? Your own children that are in the house, you'll say, just do right, and we'll get along. Well, you're not going to get along because they're not going to do right. I mean, you don't even do right, you know, because it's hard. It's just like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So that's the warning. Never. It's a misery to teach the to-dos before you tell people who they are. Because once they know who they are, then they have a capacity to do the to-dos. Amen? So here we are this morning. Therefore. Okay? But look what it says here in therefore. Therefore. Paul is going, I've told you all this stuff. Therefore, I appeal to you. You could also, it also works as beg. That's a good word. I beg you. He said, Therefore, I beg you, brothers. See, now that's important. Who's he talking to? Brothers and sisters who just heard chapters 1 through 8. That's who he's talking to. See? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, which we've just seen, to present your bodies. Now, see, we've been talking about the Spirit and everything else and hallelujah and as what? No. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies is a living sacrifice. You know, remember, this is out there for. You got all this. Now you can do this. Present your bodies, you know. And there's no, you know, hidden meaning here. Pinch your little cheek. That's what he's talking about. Put your, or put it in your mouth. That's your body. You know, be there. See, okay, so present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Oh my goodness. You better know the therefore if you're trying to do it holy, acceptable to God. Then it says this, which is your spiritual worship. What's your spiritual worship? To bring your bodies. That's your spiritual worship. See, all of a sudden, you see the tone change. How do you do this? Chapters 1 through 8. Chapters 1 through 8. And if you don't have chapters 1 through 8, this will be the most miserable verse that you ever try to live out. It will just, you will be the biggest sourpuss on this earth. I'm telling you. See? But here we are. But we're putting it together. Now, so here we are. Let's go through this. Therefore. So when you see the verse, he's telling us, because of what we know, specifically in chapters 1 through 8, we are told to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. This is a decision of the mind. You know, this is not, oh, you know, I'll just pray. I'll get overwhelmed by the Spirit. I'll have this big, you know, encounter. No, it's a decision. You do it, you don't do it. It's a decision. He can, well, and see, it's just blunt. It's a decision of the mind. But we've already had chapters 1 through 8. He says, you got it. Now, here's a decision of the mind. And it's a decision of the mind based on what we know. What do we know at this point? I've said it. Chapters 1 through 8. That's what we know. So based on what we know, we make a decision. So we have this background. Now, there's another verse I'll call in Romans. Look at Romans 6:13. And this is earlier in Romans, but it uses the same word here about present. What do you do? Come on, wait till Jesus speaks and, you know, I'll be directed. You know, no, you know, present, do. You know, do. So Romans 6:13. Do not present your members to sin is instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God. Just do it. Do it. Why? Well, I don't feel like it. I didn't ask you, feel like it. I said, do it. Why? Because you know chapters 1 through 8. Just do it. All right? Now, make a decision. So that's present your bodies. But look here, which would be enough, but in this verse, the decision is one of total commitment, defined as giving our bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, I'll do it today, you know, or tomorrow, you know, or maybe I'll do this, won't do that. No, it's a total commitment, and we come as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, and the terminology, you know, remember, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. Okay, he knew, like he probably memorized almost all the Old Testament. He practiced all the sacrificial system. So when he says a word like that, he's got the whole context and definition, you know. And so he understood the sacrifices, what a sacrifice was. In the Old Testament, there's something very interesting about the sacrifices. They were totally consumed. Totally consumed. And what they do, they offered everything up. And what they didn't offer, it was burned up. You didn't have residual. And the stuff for the priest, like they offer it up, and they take some of the food, like from a lamb, and they'd give it to the priest, and the priest would eat it, and leftovers were burned up. So when you say a sacrifice, it is totally consumed, totally burned up. So when he tells us, I want you to be a living sacrifice, what kind of commitment are you asking for? Everything. Everything. Well, I present my little finger. Maybe a whole hand. Hallelujah. You know where? No. The whole body is a living sin. See, now you go back. Why? You understand what he did in chapters 1 through 8. We understand. I appeal to you, brothers. Brothers. We understand. He goes, you understand? I understand. Okay. I want all of you. I want a living sacrifice. I want you consumed with me. You know, there's a verse in Revelations, and it talks to the believers that lukewarm, you know, like that. And he goes, I wish you're hot or cold. You make me sick. I want to throw up. I want to spew you out of your mouth. And it actually, look up, means vomit. Okay? But God goes, no, I want all of you. Well, I'll give you 90%. He goes, yeah, I just want to throw up when you say that. Why does he say that? Because you know chapters 1, 2, 8. How can I totally given you everything I am and made a way for you and you don't respond? It's a living sacrifice. It makes me want to throw up. That's what it's saying here. I want a living sacrifice. Totally consumed. See, so we see this picture of a sacrifice in the New Testament. And this sacrifice, and listen to this. So, you know, at this point, you start reading through this, you know, chapter 12. You go, oh my God, I wish we hadn't went over 1 through 8. It's Lord, you know. Lord. See, the sacrifice acceptable to God must be the believer themselves. It's us. You know, hey, I'm coming back from my church, you know. I'm going to come back to my lukewarm people. No. I don't do that. No. That makes me sick. Sick. And two, you know, I say the word, that's not even an exaggeration. The Lord really says that. You make me sick. I want to spew you out of my mouth. You know. So here we we're getting the doctrine up to that, and that God says, I want all of you. Why? You know why. Chapters 1 through 8. Don't start. You know, if you're discipling somebody, don't start with Romans 12, 1. Don't start. You got to be kidding me. You know? And anybody in their right mind say, you got to be kidding me. Because you have to know Romans 1 through 8 before you can even embrace or even think about embracing, you know, buying in to what God's saying. And that's what he's presenting here. So with this, we learn in chapter 8, see, so how we do this. I mean, anybody here listening would go, okay, yeah. Well, how do we do this? Well, we also learned in Romans chapter 8, we learned that we make a decision for God and have our minds set on God, and God will empower us with the Holy Spirit to do what we decided. So we know that's how we do it. Oh man, I'm just going to sweat it for Jesus and I'm so excited. No, based on chapter 8, what we are, no, I'm going to step in, I'm going to make a decision and give my body totally to the Lord, knowing I will be empowered to do what he asked me to do. So we do it with a foundation. You give this to somebody cold, they're going, oh man, I'm going to have to suck it up. Man, to be a living sacrifice, and that's going to take everything I have. Well, maybe, but no, it's a decision for Christ, and we know we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He'll honor that decision. He'll empower us to do what he said. See, you got to know chapter 8 to do chapter verse 1. Now, so as we look at this, we also see, and this is, to me, this is fascinating. We also see that presenting our bodies is a living sacrifice is our spiritual act of worship. They said, I just want to worship the Lord. Well, based on that verse, it says you need to give your whole body as a living sacrifice. No, I just thought maybe we just hit a few praise tunes. I mean, that's all I wanted to do. Just like, you know, raise my hands and kind of wait. And just, that's kind of more than I was bargaining for. Because our living sacrifice is a spiritual act of worship. Now, the words here, fascinating, spiritual and worship, are incredibly hard to translate. In the Greek, they're incredibly hard to translate. It's the spiritual, it's not puma, which is normal spiritual, it's a different word, totally different word. And for this word, there is no exact English word to translate it. It's one of these Greek words that we don't have an English word to translate it. Okay, so they communicate it, they use spiritual. That's the best they could do. Okay, some of them use reasonable. Now, how do you get? I mean, you got pick. You're not even close. Reasonable and spiritual. Well, here's the problem: is the word means that this is genuine, pertaining to mind and heart. See, so you got one word, and it's genuine, pertaining to mind and heart. And so you know, trying to write that out, it says, no, we'll just put spiritual. That's what I mean. It's spiritual. It's genuine concerning mind and heart. Okay, so all right then. Then the idea is that a living sacrifice of our body, which we render, is genuine in heart and soul in a new way of the Spirit. Okay? Romans 7:6, it says this: we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. See? So here you have this picture of what spiritual means. It's pertaining, like, living, it ties into living sacrifice. It's all of you, heart, mind, will, and soul. Your soul, heart, mind, will, and emotions, you know. You're presenting yourself. It's this living sacrifice. Well, worship is interesting because what it means is ministry or service dedicated to God. That's what it means. Ministry or service dedicated. It's definite. Greeks knew what it meant. But we don't have the English to tie it in. So ministry is service dedicated to God. And what it covers is the entire range of Christian life and activity. The entire worship, the entire reign of it. So our ministry, now hold up with this. Our ministry or our service to God is worship. I want to come and I want to worship. Service and worship. Well, that's what could I do that would just be helpful, like a worship of God. How about cleaning the bathrooms? You know, really are a mess. No, I just want to kind of sing a few songs. That's not what that's saying. No, your worship is the ministry and service dedicated to God, which is an expression of worship. See? So you come in here to church, you vacuum around, says, what are you doing? I'm worshiping Jesus. You know, but that's what it says. I mean, it's kind of incredible. And this ministry, like again, Apostle Paul, he knew the Old Testament, and his ministry was the same thing that God required in the Old Testament. Listen to this, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? That's spiritual worship. That's spiritual worship. And so Paul knows all this thing. And so as we look at this, it's like, oh my goodness. But now I got to back up again. This should be, if you read it, if you're like me, you're like, oh, crud. You know, it's like I fall so short in many ways, it's unbelievable. But what I fall back on, I understand chapters 1 through 8. Therefore, I understand that I'm cleansed, purified before Him. I have power from Him to live out the life. And so I make decisions for Him. And He's going to grow me in those things for Him. So I always have confidence. I'm not distressed. Because He's already said He's paid for my shortcomings. But now He's given me a direction. Now move in this direction with what you know. That's Romans 12:1. And I'll just add, how much of you does He want? Oh. All. It's like, no, your life should be consumed with me. That's what He said. I want all of it. So here we have, therefore, understanding chapters 1 through 8, chapters 1 through 8 must come before, and we have the power to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our spiritual worship, which reflects our natural heartfelt service to God. Can you imagine trying to pass this on to someone without Romans chapter 1 through 8? It doesn't work. This verse does not work without Romans 1 through 8. Does not. Don't. I mean, that would be the awfulest thing in the world to tell somebody. Try it on your children. Let's see, the younger the better. Try 5. I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to me. And that's your act of dedication to God. They can't run away from home. I mean, it just, I'm done. I mean, this is nuts. Okay? I mean, they figured that out at 5 and 6. But with 8, then it's your empowering, and then you help direct to the to-do. You can't do the to-do without chapters 1 through 8. You can't. You can't. You can't. Now, so here we are. We got it. Okay? The living sacrifice, spiritual act. Our service is a spiritual act of worship. Then look what it says, verse 2. Okay, we got it all. This is all working together. You know, I hate it. I love, I shouldn't, you know, there's a verse and you put it on the refrigerator, you memorize it, and this verse applies to me. But I always do it. You know, what was before the verse and after the verse? Maybe you don't want it to apply to you. It's like, eeks, you know, because you won't get the whole picture. But let's look here at the next verse. We have all this information. Now here's the next verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The total commitment to God will require us to get in step with God's kingdom. See, this all comes out of Romans 1 through 8. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect. What is good, acceptable, perfect? See, the world around us is totally out of step with God. Like we needed God to tell us this, okay? I mean, we're like, I can't believe what's happening. The whole world is out of step with God. Therefore, as living sacrifices, we should not be conformed to the world around us. I mean, but the world, I know, I mean, they're on the train to hell. You know, they deny God. They're totally neglecting the things of God. You know, he said, don't be conformed to them. Our son, I remember he came home one day and he went to South Lakes High School. He goes, well, everybody at South Lake High School is doing it. I go, who cares? I do not care what they're doing at South Lakes High School. South Lakes High School is not my goal in which I look to control my behavior, you know. Now, he didn't see my indignation well, but anyway, it was like, it's just incomprehensible. What? Who cares? You know, well, the world says, the news says, who cares what they say? Who cares? You know, and I think, you know, if we're standing before God and he says, well, everybody else did it. And he's like, who cares? You know, I mean, it's kind of insane. You know, we had, Pastor Minner did this. Now, it was fascinating to me. I'll see if I pull up. And he talked about, he goes like, here are the parameters of Christian life. It's bad. This is good. And he says, I just want to stay right here in the middle. He says, my right is good, my left is bad. Right is good, left is bad. I want to just be in the middle. Okay? Well, the world gets worse and worse and worse, and so the bad moves this far. Therefore, the middle moves this far. And therefore, the good moves this far. And then it goes on, it gets worse and worse and worse, and the bad moves this far, then the middle moves this far, and the good moves this far. And pretty soon, your middle is where the bad was. Your middle is where the bad was, and you don't know how you got there. See? And if it goes long enough, the good gets close to where the bad was. You see what's happening? What does that? The world! The world. And so he said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, so we see is living sacrifices, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, let's stop and think. Where did we learn about the power of the Holy Spirit and dwelling us and giving us spiritual gifts and calling on the Holy Spirit for help? Ta-da. Chapter 8. Chapter 8. Okay? And so that's true. That's the doctrine of who we are. But what's he saying here? You're going to receive the Holy Spirit and you're going to hear, you're going to have the thanks of God and he's working through you. But there's something you need to do once you receive the Holy Spirit. What's it telling us to do? Full of the Holy Spirit, praising Jesus. What's he telling us to do? Renew our minds. We're going to be transformed by renewing our mind. He goes, oh, I'm going to just praise, hold my hand. Jesus will come upon me, transform me, and I'm going to do all these things for God. You know, that's not what this is talking about. It's not what it's talking about. He said, no, you've been raised a certain way in this world. You've been raised in a family a certain way. You've been raised in the world in a certain way. And your mind is locked in to that way of thinking, the way you process information, what you learned in school, what you learned in family, what you learned. You're locked into that thinking. And much of that thinking is wrong compared to God. So you need to renew your mind. You do something to renew your mind. You don't spiritually ask the Holy Spirit come and teach you something to do. I mean, you can do that, but that's not renewing your mind. You have to renew. And so it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be changed by renewing your mind. See, it is our responsibility to renew our mind. This is not some big spiritual experience. This is a decision to renew your mind. Remember I said, what is chapter 12? To do. We have chapter 1 through. Everybody, I want a to do. You know, okay, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Well, how about something else to do? You know, that to do is too big of a to do. It's like, no, and don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Renew your mind, because you're thinking, God goes, and this is me talking, God goes, I am speaking to you, and it hits your mind, it goes, bah, 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 bouncing off everything, and it can get out, because your thinking is so screwed up, I can't get through your head what I'm saying. Have you ever said, felt like the Lord's prompting you to do something, and go, nah, I ain't doing that. I don't think so. You know, that's bad pizza. Hey, no way that's happening. See, he can't get through our minds. See, our minds, he doesn't take our mind. He doesn't give us a lobotomy. He take a brain out, give us another brain. We have our own brain. He fills the Holy Spirit. Then he works and speaks through that brain. See, well, he says, renew that mind so that you understand what I'm saying. You know, he's like speaking Spanish to me, and I thought, why? No savvy, man. I don't know what you're talking about. See, I can't understand the language. Well, renew your mind. Don't be conformed, don't you be transferred, and you can understand my language. You have to renew your mind. That's what I'm saying. Now, so what does this mean? Renew our mind. That means we start seeing things as God sees. We start thinking like God thinks, which will not be like the world. And this is huge, and you hear it all the time from me, and most of you do it, I think. We do this, renew our mind by reading His Word. That's reading His Word. You know, if I didn't read the Word, I'd be doing a lot of different things. You know, you ever read the Word and you read it and you say, geez, Lord. You know, and you just keep, golly. And so you get transformed because what the Bible is what He does. So He's telling us what He does. And He's saying, don't be conformed to the Word. Listen to me, do what I do, because I'm working through you to do what I do. And it's going to be counter the Word. So be in the read God's Word. All right? And spend time with Him in prayer. Time with Him in prayer. And this is not, it's all through the Scripture. Spend time with His people. Spend time with His people. See, because you learn from one another. I don't like God's people. Okay, you know. I mean, it just, something's out of whack, you know. You just like, and you like all those other people you like hanging with, you know. Something's not working, you know. Like, no. No. Pastor Milligan, as you hear me bring him up all the time, you know, what, and he'd tell me, among other things, he'd say, get with God's people and pray. Get with God's people and pray. There's power in God's people. There's power in Christ. Get with God's people, pray. See, there's a transforming power, okay, with God's people. You know, you think, gosh, I don't know if I won't pray with some of God's people. And you say, but wait a minute, God called him His people, right? And so it's kind of like we don't have a vote on God's people, you know, they're God's people. So, and we can grow with one another. But so those are the three things you spend time, but you read His Word. You read His words. I mean, 90% of the things I say, you know, when I kind of get off script, you know, and I say all these silly things, Linda's over there going, you know, he's doing something other than those things. What I say, the reason I say them is because that's what God said to say. And it's like I don't have a choice but to say what God has to say. And many times I said, God, I don't do that. How can I tell them to do that? And He said, well, it doesn't make any difference if you do it or not. This is what I said to do. And so, gosh, and so I'm convicted telling you to do something I don't do. And so I'm like praying beforehand, God, okay, I'm convicted that. You got to teach me. But that's how God works. You know, Peter talks, go to the pure milk of the Word. Now, what do you think? Who goes to the pure milk? A baby. Totally satisfied. And that's, go to the pure milk of the Word. That's what Peter says. And so you go to the pure milk of the Word, and there's nourishment, and there's transformation. Spend time with God's people. Get together with God's people and pray. That's what it says. That's what it says to do. And then as we renew our minds, and all of us can say at one time or another, God showed us something. Okay, that was not right. I got to adjust that. You know, He adjusts that. We learn something. I mean, all of us have done that, you know, and it's never ending. But then it goes on and says something very interesting, which is fascinating to me. It says that we renew our mind so we're able to do something. God said, now we renew our mind, we're able to do something. And it says, and test to see if God is true. So you're going, God, that ain't working. Man, that ain't going to work. You got to be kidding me. And God said, no, test me. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. I'm telling you. So we go, we test it because He said to. So we test it and we go, son of a God, that didn't work. Wow, you know, or we test it and say, I don't know if God said anything about that. This is not working, right? We test what He tells us. And then it says, when we test it, we're able to discern. But how are we able to discern? We test it. I'm not going to sit here until God tells me and I move, and then I'm going to do it, and he's going to have to drag me out. I'm not moving. You're not testing. You're not discerning. See? Okay, God, this is what I think. And you move in that direction, and you see, God, oh my, this is, I can see more doors on. Okay, I can see. This is what God said. I move here. And then you discern. Why, this is what God wants me to do. This is discern. To discern. See? Or you move away. You know, sometimes you just hit, and sometimes the Lord's telling you you have to persevere, but you go, something's not working in this. I need to go back to the Word and say, no, I saw that different. That's not working to do that. You discerned. See, that's how you grow in faith. And the Bible says grow in faith. Okay? That means you learn as you test God's Word. You trust God's Word. Now, how do you test God's Word? How do you discern? Chapters 1 through 8. See, you have some resources around you as you're testing. You have resources around you. And then you're discerning, but you're learning how to apply those things. And this is what this is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 are telling us. And so we discern what is good and acceptable, and then we grow in maturity and power. You grow in maturity by testing things. You discern things. And this growing, and this is literally, and the Bible tells you, grow from faith to faith. You have faith, and you grow and get more faith. You go faith to faith. Faith leads to more faith. You know, and this is, he's telling us how to do it, how to do it here. And then we start implementing more and more things in accordance with God's Word. Amen? 12. So here, big therefore, right? Chapter 12, big therefore. Now, when we do that, the whole Christian community learns to grow in God's will and fullness of power. The whole Christian community learns from it. Any one of you who grows in the Spirit of the Lord, as you share with others, we pray to others, happen, we all grow as community. That's the reason he said to get together as community. Community. He said, I write to the churches. This is to tell the churches. Tell the people who've read chapters 1 through 8. Because the rest of them can't do it. They're just going to be frustrated. Now, I'm going to wrap it up with this. This point is all through Scripture. It is really helpful. It's helpful with your kids. Discipline your kids. Okay? Let them behave out of fear. Okay, I shouldn't have done that. Just make a... If they behave, I mean, I'm happy you're happy. But there's some... You know I'm joking. Okay? Well, I'm joking. But there's at some point where they have to embrace a relationship with the Lord where it becomes part of their heart direction. And when they start responding out of their heart, you know, their self, you know, then they start moving in the power of God. They'll never really move in the power of God, you know, while they're just being disciplined. But it says discipline your kids. Don't let up. Okay. But there has to come to a point where it becomes their faith, their Christ, their power. And then you see, it doesn't make any difference where they go. They're empowered. Empowered. And so, excuse me. And so you see this all through Scripture, how important it is. But it's important in discipleship. Don't teach a new believer Romans chapter 12. Don't do it. Don't teach your kids Romans chapter 12. They're not ready. Okay, you want to get there, but they have to learn chapters 1 through 8 first. Faith, salvation, power of the Holy Spirit. Now look, Romans chapter 1 through 8, we learn who we are. Then Romans 12, and afterwards we learn what we do. And here's the order all through Scripture. Look, if you will, and this is just, I just pulled this one, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. This is the who. Who are you? Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. This is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. That's who we are. You know, that just summarized chapters 1 through 8. Then the next verse. This is what we do when we know who we are. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He said, I've created these good works for you to do. I created them beforehand. But you need to know who you are first before you can do what you were created for. Amen? I mean, it's just fascinating. Totally fascinating. Now, let's just pray about that one. Just close in prayer here. But when we fully embrace who we are, we're able to do what God has prepared us to do. People can't do anything because they don't know who they are. When people are screwing up, they don't need more rules. They need to know who they are. And when they know who they are, they have a capacity to come out in what God wants them to do. Amen? I mean, it's right. Don't reverse it. You and everybody else are going to be miserable. Don't be a preacher that reverses it, because you're going to make all them miserable, okay? And then they're going to make you miserable. And it was your fault in the first place. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it really is, when we just look at what you said, and what you say, it's so clear what you're doing. It's so clear. And we stand in awe and majesty of what you have done for us. We're in total awe about it. Paul says, I'm just in awe. Who has known the mind of Christ? He just, the majesty from him, through him. It's just like for him. Oh, Lord, there's nothing to do but present my body as a living sacrifice. There's nothing to do. I just present my body. All right. And anything I do for you, I present with my whole heart, which is my worship to you. Which is my worship to do. My life is worship to you. My life is worship to you, is a living sacrifice. Lord, we thank you. You made the way by the paying the penalty for our sins. We are washed, cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live out all the things that you show us, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you recognize without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Nothing. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you to do a mighty work. You be our teacher. Dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.